I started to play disc golf when I was in New Jersey. And then when I came down here to be able to spend time with Bo, I took Bo out a couple different times and we began playing. And I think he got infected with the disc golf bug, and now he loves disc golf, right? And so, but what began happening was I just began playing, and I just play, and I don't devote any time to disc golf except for when I'm playing, right? Well, Bo, he's reading, he's watching videos, he's taking classes at school, he's playing and playing, and before you know it, I go out to play with Bo, and he's crushing me, all right?
Go, Bo!
Yeah, he's crushing me, all right? And so, you know, I'm like, gosh, man, I've been playing for years, and this kid's been playing for less than a year, or maybe a little bit more than a year, Bo. But he's devoting time. He's practicing. He's watching the videos, and then he's taking what he's learning, and he's going out and trying it. He's using all of the lingo, and I'm like, dude, what does that mean again, Bo? Anheuser. I don't know what that means still. He's saying it, right? But for me, I'm getting frustrated, so I'm like, all right, I got to figure out how to be able to drive better. So I'll watch a YouTube video. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch a 10-minute video. They'll boil down all the facts, and they'll teach me how to drive better. So I watched it, all right? And I go out. Was I any better? No, I maybe had the knowledge in my head what I was supposed to do, but I hadn't put that into practice. So what began happening was I began reverting to my old ways. And the last time that Tom and Bo and I played, I put two discs in the pond behind the primary school. All right? All right. And so with me, with disc golf, if I wanted to get better at disc golf, I need to not only spend time reading, watching, learning from people, but I need to put in the time to be able to practice, to develop, to begin training myself how to be able to throw properly and understand how to play, right? But it's the same thing with us spiritually, right? We shouldn't just treat our Sunday morning gatherings as our time where we're watching a YouTube video, where we're just gaining the knowledge and then we're good for the week. Right? For us, I mean, what Christ is inviting us into is this life-altering power that can reside inside of us, that can change us. And Christ came to give us life. But yet we're just looking for the boiled down, you know, just give me the quick definition of what I got to do, so I can know it and just live. But today, when we're beginning to talk about forgiveness, you can't just whittle down. What is the definition of biblical forgiveness? There's tons of different areas and avenues that the Word of God talks about forgiveness. And the thing that I want all of us to see, don't feel shame this morning, but feel an invitation. The invitation is that we would see that we can read and meditate upon the Word of God throughout our lifetime, and we can gain the insights because God is walking there with you. So the invitation is, man, when we're kind of learning about forgiveness this week, next week, maybe another, I don't know. We're not trying to give you a little quick definition that you can tweet later. We're trying to give you a brief little thing so that you can understand, hey, look, this is one area that God is trying to teach us and instruct, but then you got to go wrestle with it. You got to say, God, how does that look like for me? What does forgiveness look like for me in my situation? And so we're not trying to give you the answers. We're trying to point you to the one that has the answers so that you can begin wrestling as well. So Tim, will you come?
So one of the things that Chris and I have been talking about is when he was using this illustration. Yeah, I don't know how to throw it.
Am I supposed to throw right now?
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, you know, pick somebody out. There's Christopher. Throw it in. No, okay. But here's the thing. In our information-driven world, if we're not careful, all the information makes us lazy with application.
Yeah.
It makes us lazy with pursuit.
Yeah.
It makes us lazy toward investment. And so what we're talking about this morning, I've already had conversations over the last several weeks where people have said to me, Pastor Tim, I just want you to tell me, right or wrong, what's the answer, what's the definition? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to give you that. Because the things that we're talking about this morning, the reason Jesus asked us to pray this way is because each and every one of us on an individual basis, we're going to have a connection point because the Spirit of God bears witness with the truth. But the reality is each and every one of us have to do the arduous, painful work of understanding with your background, your experiences, your personality, and the people and the family that you have around you, what does forgiveness look like for you? And there's no shortcut to being able to figure that out. Just like there's no shortcut for him getting better other than going out and throwing the driver. I know, but you said driver and, okay, that all those different sizes. They move different ways. You know, I'll be happy to watch them. I'm not going to participate, okay? Yeah, so y'all can laugh at me. I get it. That's cool. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Let's look together real quick. And I know that we've read through this, but I want you to hear it in this context. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And just a reminder as we're reading through this, that we are called. This is not supposed to be a seasonal prayer. This is supposed to be a daily exchange in our faith walk with God. And then what does he say? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14 and 15, as soon as it gets done, given this example prayer, what does Jesus do? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Whoa. As we've been evaluating the instruction that he shared with his followers on prayer, we have been learning that it's more important to focus. Listen to me. It's more important for us as humans to focus on the immaterial aspects of our heart, our soul, and our mind, as opposed to the physical aspects. Is it not normal for us to spend most of our time talking to God about physical things? Think about that. We ask about our bodies. We ask about our health, our travel, our purchases, our finances, our jobs, and so many other physical, tangible things in our lives. And I'm not saying that as a negative, as a put down. It's just we're human beings wrapped in this flesh, in this body. So it's natural for us to pray about physical things. But do you notice the majority of what Jesus is teaching us how to pray? The majority of what he's challenging us with are those immaterial, intangible aspects. We've been learning that this heavenly kingdom, this upside-down kingdom, is more focused on these intangibles and this immaterial portion of us. I want us to notice that upon concluding the example of how we should pray daily, that our Lord, Yeshua, immediately reinforces the importance of forgiveness. Jesus is teaching, he's teaching exactly what God the Father wants him to teach us, and he returns to the subject of forgiveness. Immediately, he goes right back to the subject of forgiveness. In a conversation this week, someone asked me, Tim, why is it so hard to forgive? I didn't used to do this, but as I've gotten older, I kind of waited to see if I was really supposed to attempt an answer. But as we continued to talk, there was a follow-up question. Tim, why is it so hard to receive forgiveness? The reality is that most of us struggle in various ways with understanding what forgiveness is, how it applies, and what are the ramifications. From the context of living a life of faith because of the forgiveness of God through Jesus, forgiveness must be an integral part of our faith walk. Forgiveness must be an important and integral part of our faith walk. If we are to be channels or avenues of forgiveness, then it needs to be a process of receiving, embracing forgiveness, then sharing and passing along forgiveness. This week, we don't want to overlook some of the basic principles of forgiveness. One of the things I love about the dialogue is, and I want you to understand this, I am more of an investor. I'm more of a practitioner I'm more of a disciple maker. So for those of you who don't know, I've learned and I'm doing a better job, hopefully. I want to learn how to be a public speaker, presenter of the Word of God on a better level. But if you spend personal time with me, that's what energizes me. When I get to hang out with some of you one-on-one and we get to open up and talk about the words of life and talk about the scripture and I'm able to just pour in and we're able to be raw and real and honest with one another, that's what energizes me. This doesn't energize me in the same way. But it doesn't negate the responsibility that we have to proclaim the whole counsel of God and to stand up and proclaim what we need to be learning to help one another. And so as we do an overview, one of the things that I love is, and I'm mentioning that because when you dialogue, when you interact, when you share, when you say, hey, Pastor Tim, hey, Pastor Chris, and you open up with other people and you say, I don't get what you're saying. This doesn't make sense to me. I'm struggling with this. This makes me angry. This makes me frustrated. Or you ask questions that you think are almost illegal to ask because they seem like you're questioning your faith. Those are the very things that energize this church family to be real and raw and honest and to be able to work through our salvation together with fear and trembling. We're not looking for cookie cutter answers and we're not looking for neat theological boxes to put everything in, because if you are a true student of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it's an ugly, messed up record of our humanity and God's intervention. Some of you, everything's black and white. You need to spend more time in the Word of God, and the Spirit of the living God will help you break free, because it's not black and white from beginning to end. It is from God's perspective, but not from our limited perspective. Are you tracking with me? So what I want to do this morning is I want to just give you some practical things. Many of us here today struggle with being forgiven. I don't know what percentage of that would be, but I can promise you, based on my interaction with a lot of our family, there's probably the majority of you that are sitting here this morning, you've got game face on and people don't know, but you struggle internally with what it means to be forgiven. So let me throw out some barriers to receiving forgiveness. These are the ones I hear. These are the ones I hear regularly. These are barriers to forgiveness within our church family. Pastor Tim, I'm too bad. I've done too much. It's too late for me. Pastor Tim, I don't deserve to be forgiven. Pastor Tim, I can never do anything or do enough to earn being forgiven. So let's look at forgiveness in a very practical, personal level. And we are going to spend a couple weeks here because this is such a deep thing. I had a question and a conversation early this morning after worship practice. Praise God that the Spirit of God is working in our midst to challenge us. So let's do a simple status evaluation of perspective. I've just got two to throw out to you this morning. And there's certain people in here this morning that you fit into this category. Do you even need forgiveness? I'm being honest. I'm being real. Do you even need forgiveness? There are people who really believe that they do no wrong. Some of you are sitting here this morning. Baby down on the front row. She's good. Yeah, she's like, I'm okay. These people that really believe that they do no wrong, their wrong is not their own because it's always the fault of someone else. They do not take personal responsibility for their decisions and actions. Therefore, there is never a need for forgiveness. No harm, no foul. Don't need forgiving. Simple status evaluation number two. These are extremes, but that's what we have here this morning. How can I be forgiven when I continue to do the same thing or make the same mistake over and over again? There are some of us that are the opposite of the first status, and we are acutely aware of our struggles with sin or sins. This sense that I cannot be forgiven because I have not changed after asking forgiveness is what a lot of us here this morning really struggle with. I'm not the person that I really want to be, and I keep struggling. How can I receive forgiveness? Now, regarding this perspective, I want to offer two considerations for sinning and forgiveness. And I'm not going to go into depth. I'm just going to throw this out because I think some of you need to consider this. Maybe some of you for the first time, others need to be reminded. There's a difference between, number one, sin as a lifestyle. Whatever the sin, it is like this love or consuming passion. It becomes an addiction. And the scripture makes it very plain. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here this morning, but you need to look at what the scripture says because the scripture is very plain. Regardless of how we psychobabble and try to reinterpret the scripture, there's some very specific teaching that our Lord continued to proclaim and encourage that if you continue in a lifestyle of sin and choose that love affair for that sin over Jesus, you have serious problems for eternity. Number two is that sin as a besetting weakness. There's a difference between sin as a lifestyle and sin as a besetting weakness. What I mean by that is a vulnerability or a weak area that is a repeat sin battle. Now, at this juncture, because some of you need to hear this morning, just have a little note here. For those who need to hear this because of your either present or past relationships, and please listen, a narcissist will often use forgiveness as a manipulation or leverage point to control a person or a situation. A narcissist typically has no concept of what genuine forgiveness is because a narcissist is above accountability. And I can promise you by the Spirit of the living God, there's someone here this morning, I don't know who you are, but you needed to hear that. Because when you're around somebody that is manipulative and controlling and self-absorbed, they might use the term forgiveness, but it's nothing more than a leverage tool to try to manipulate and control the situation. That is not forgiveness. And I'll move on from there. Genuine forgiveness is a powerful tool for learning to battle sin and weakness. We're going to break down forgiveness on a deeper level the next couple of lessons, but let me give you some extra reading material if you want to take a minute and write these down. All of Hebrews chapter 10. You need to see how the Old Testament and the New Testament and how it is a masterful job of helping us understand forgiveness in Hebrews chapter 10. Read through the whole passage. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Just throw those out if you want to look those up and study those this week. But right now, I want to ask you to look at Matthew chapter 18. 21 through 35. Now, we're not going to read all these verses in here, but I want you to have the reference because what I want to do is I want to show you verses 21 and 22 and then verse 35. So in Matthew chapter 18, 21 through 35, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. When I read these verses, I kind of sort of feel or sense what Peter's asking. How long do I put up with other people's failures, shortcomings, and sins? There's got to be an expiration point. There's got to be a point where I get exacerbated, and I mean, I'm just fed up, I'm frustrated. Let's just try seven. Seven sounds good. That's one for each day of the week on our typical calendar. That makes sense. Can you get along with that? Peter's thinking, okay, that's pretty cool. Seven sounds like that's a good number. And the response shoots that idea down. Nope. Take your seven, and you multiply that times 70, and you come up with 490. Now, in our American calendar year, the way we keep track, your average calendar year is typically 365 days in a year, so you get the point. 490 versus 365. Now, some of you, I understand your personality. You would keep track of those egregious acts, and you would tally those up. Most of us would not. I would get worn out by month three. Okay? I could say something really funny, but I've learned to keep my mouth shut, or I'm learning. See if my logic connects with you this morning, because many of us struggle with this perspective. So I've got this written out on my page. I don't know if you, she could, I mean, Catherine, I don't know if you were able to do anything. Okay, good. I didn't know how to tell you or ask you. So I've got Peter, and I've got some lines, and I put how long and how many times towards someone else. And I think that that's a natural question that we all ask ourselves. But what we do is we get this backwards. And I believe that there's a reason why in this record of Matthew chapter 18, along with Matthew chapter 6, where we kind of want to know, what does this look like, me to forgive someone else? Give me some rules on that. And what we really should be doing is backing this up and putting Jesus, how long and how many times to Peter or me? I don't know about you this morning, but hallelujah, I don't get a 7 times an out limit with Jesus. Now, for some of you, if you get nothing else out of the lesson, you should live here going, thank you, praise God, for his patience, his long suffering, his mercy, his gentleness, that he doesn't just whack us after 7 times. But isn't it funny how we want to know, where's my limit? Because this stinking person, and isn't it funny when you're having those conversations, you don't want to walk by a mirror. I want to know how many, if we're honest. Now, if you're the narcissist in here, you're like, yeah, man, if they could only be as good as me. When you walk by the mirror. You get what I'm saying? So, there's so much to break down and evaluate regarding forgiveness. Secular psychologists understand the power of forgiveness on the most basic human level. And that they'll even talk, without even a God perspective, people in the level of counseling, and they understand the power of forgiveness and what it does. We're going to be looking deeper for the next couple lessons, but let me give you some. Genuine forgiveness is a powerful tool for learning to battle sin and weakness. So let me give you some baby steps to take today regarding forgiveness. First, evaluate the reality of what you have done or what has been done to you. Now, what's really difficult here, because what happens a lot of times is really egregious things that have happened that we have trouble forgiving. Sometimes it's difficult to talk to those things about with somebody else and get a larger perspective. But that's a very positive thing, because you need to evaluate the reality. Many times when Lori and I spend time with people and they're scared to death and they open up, simply all we do is say, you know, I would feel worse about that than you do. And they're like, really? So I'm not weird? I'm not strange? I'm like, no, I might be in jail. Like, I'm really proud of you for not acting on that. And people look at us like, whoa. Because see, it helps when somebody helps you evaluate the reality of what you've either done or what's been done to you. The second thing, I want to encourage you to pursue genuine honesty and truthfulness, to own what has been done or what you've done, regardless of what side you're on, either the giving or the receiving side of the sin. And more in our society, people just have a hard time owning their stuff. But genuine honesty and truthfulness to just own what has happened, whether you're on the giving or receiving side, it's going to make a huge difference. But it's a baby step. The third thing, take steps of change or repentance, which means to confess and turn away. A lot of lip service. A lot in scriptures, people honor me with their mouth, they run their mouth, they say all kinds of things, but their life doesn't back it up. A lot of people, Jesus. And so what's super important for us to learn to do is take baby steps of change or repentance. Change and repentance go hand in hand because it's a turn. And then what it means is to confess and turn away. The fourth thing, make a plan for repentance. If you want to change and if you want to repent, Make a plan. If you don't make a plan, you're balonifying yourself. That was the most gracious way I could say that in my mind, to come out of my mouth. Are you tracking with me? You got to have a plan. What's your repentance plan? Next thing, ask and seek out forgiveness. Ask and seek out forgiveness. Some of you grew up in families where you never heard, please forgive me, I was wrong. I know that that hurt you. And as much as you hated that, you are now perpetuating that same arrogant approach. I'm going to ask you in Jesus' name to take a baby step and just say, will you forgive me? I'm sorry. I was wrong. I've done that. You can ask all of my kids. Even at my age, I still have to do that. Ran my mouth at the wrong time. Had good intentions. That sounded really funny in my mind. Coming out, it didn't work out so well. And somebody's face drops because what I thought was funny came out very hurtful. You want to know what makes a big difference? I look at my wife and I say, hey, babe, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? I love family pictures. They're all up here like, I get that. Okay, moving on. 5 to walk in forgiveness. Not just a one-time thing, but 5 to live there. And you know what's been really good for me? You know what's been very purifying for me? It's because God has changed me, and he's still changing me, and he's transforming me. So the blessing is what I used to really struggle with, and the hatred and the resentment and the anger and the bitterness that used to boil inside of me. But being in ministry, I had figured out fabulous ways to not ever present that. But I knew what was recoiling and boiling and bouncing around inside. But you know what's awesome is God has shown me how to walk and live in forgiveness to the point now where I have to stop and think about it because it has now become very natural and it's like breathing and it never used to be that way. Are you tracking with me? Final thought. I want you to chew on this a little bit. This is leading into the next studies. Some of us confuse forgiveness with function. And that's weird. Why'd you say it that way? How we live and how we respond to others affects how we live and how we move forward. We're going to look at the difference. It matters how we live and it matters how we respond to others. In this new heavenly kingdom, it's based on forgiveness, but it does not excuse unrepentant sin. Some of you so misunderstand forgiveness, and you think a lot of the relationship issues that we have, there can be some that have to do with forgiveness, but really has to do with hurtful function. It has to do with the way that we function with our mouths and our lifestyles. It's not really about forgiveness. It's more about functionality. All right, next one. Some of us are confused or frustrated believing that forgiveness relinquishes consequences. If you're sitting here this morning and you've bought into the whole idea that forgiveness relinquishes consequences, sometimes it does. Most times it doesn't. How we live and how we respond to others affects how we live and how we move forward. We're going to look at what this difference makes. It matters how we live and it matters how we respond to others. The key characteristic of a spiritual warfighter who is learning forgiveness, key word here, freedom. Every time I talk to him, 5-pack at Sam's, hallelujah. Every time I talk to a brother or a sister in Christ who has learned forgiveness, you know what I always have a connection with? They understand how the Spirit brings freedom. I've met a lot of people that talk a big game about forgiveness, but they don't live with freedom. I've learned through the years, I'm like, maybe we need to talk about that. The reality that Yeshua is reiterating is the importance of forgiveness. And it should reveal the deep struggle of each and every one of us to receive forgiveness and then to pass it on. Please understand, we're not going to take a simple black and white approach to this whole issue of forgiveness. It's a very personal struggle because it's a personal of the heart, the soul, and the mind. And may we press into our relationship with God and wrestle to understand the path that our Lord has called us to walk. May we walk by faith through grace to experience forgiveness, allow ourselves to be forgiven, allow ourselves to pour forgiveness over ourselves, and then to be a channel to flow through. Did you take it? Okay, never mind. What Pastor Chris said starting, the only way that you're going to be able to understand forgiveness and make it real is you got to take baby steps, and you got to start somewhere. And I've tried to give you some things that you can begin to do it. But you know what? Practicing also means receiving. So what are you going to do this week? You say, Pastor Tim, forgiveness is one of the hardest things I've ever done. Come and talk to my wife and I. We get you. Don't assume you know about us when you don't know about us. This is real and personal for me. But the freedom, the level to understand the difference between forgiveness and functionality, oh, Father, may you reveal to us and help us to be a family that lives in your forgiveness and is able to pass it on when you tap on us and say, forgive. Father, please, by your Spirit, work in our lives. May we glorify you during this season, and may we lift up your Son, and that you would draw everyone to yourself using these broken, messed up people that you call us your children. Thank you for making us saints and thanking us for making us spiritual warfighters. So I pray freedom in Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing about our great Savior.